Welcome to the Memora Health Care Delivery Podcast. Through conversations with industry leaders and innovators, we uncover ways to simplify how patients and care teams navigate complex care delivery.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Jamie Colbert, Senior Vice President of Care Delivery for Memora Health and host of the Care Delivery Podcast. I'm joined today by Ian Coombs, co-founder and CEO of Karoo Health, a platform for comprehensive cardiovascular care. Ian, why don't you take a moment and just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thanks, Jamie. So happy to be on the podcast. I think what's relevant here, grew up the son of a physician. So one way or another, have been part of the healthcare system my entire life. I think where the entrepreneurial journey really started was probably around the time I was 15 or 16 when my parents said, get a job. And I didn't want to get a quote real job. So my best friend and I ended up starting a curb painting business. And so that was my first foray into entrepreneurship and have been in it for most of my career.
Awesome. So just tell our listeners a little bit about Karoo Health. If they're not familiar with Karoo, how would you summarize the mission and the purpose of this company?
Yeah, so Karoo was really started, I think, as a quick background, was started from the personal side. So my best friend had a heart attack and passed away at 29. And so I always thought, is there a better way, a care delivery model or a technology that I could create and or deploy that would have prevented the outcomes of the people I love? And so the light bulb went off, and through our deep dive, we ended up being connected to Mark McClellan, the old CMS administrator, and he was commissioned by the American Heart Association basically to say, why are outcomes getting worse, not better? And we took that one step further and really talked to cardiologists all over the country. And we would ask them one simple question, which is, if you had unlimited time and resources, how would you build a delivery model that actually put patients first, who drove those outcomes and changes? And they universally said it had to be this hybrid delivery model, whereby we're really enabling that transition from volume-based to value-based through the wraparound services and the technology in which we deploy. So we're really managing the risk of that population. Think of a PMPY of 45, 50,000. These are the patients that spend 6 weeks to get an appointment, only to be told by their cardiologist, work out, be healthy, see you later. And those people undoubtedly will end up in the ED. And we're really aligning incentives, partnering with the physicians and the networks to managing those conditions for the patient, 365 through SMS text, as well as video and phone calls, streamlining that process and giving that 360-degree view into performance of not only the patient, but how we're doing within those contracts with kind of that continuity of care between the specialists and the at-risk PCPs and or payers in which we work with.
So for our listeners who may not be as familiar with cardiovascular disease, what would you say are the main problems that you discovered as you spoke with the cardiologists in your region and learned more about what the gaps were for optimal patient care?
Yeah, I think it's not a unfamiliar story that you hear in a lot of other specialties, but I think relevant for these type of patients where they are told, work out, be healthy, and they're really left alone to their own devices. And undoubtedly, those patients do end up in the ED. And so we've spoken to several cardiologists that one in particular was on call, I don't know, 6 months ago, a year ago, and had stated they had 75 admissions in a single weekend, right? And they know that the majority of them with that support outside of those four walls don't need to be there. And so we really provide and step into that gray space for them to give them the resources to those patients. So that patient is really cared for in a 24/7 way that they previously weren't in that condition, right? Where a condition that we typically focus on is congestive heart failure, chronic ischemia, all of these diseases that and conditions that require infinitely more attention than some of the other conditions in other disease states. And so we really step into that and manage those conditions in partnership and collaboration with our partners. So we actually set up, you as a physician, Jamie, know this better than anybody, but there's patients that often have, on paper, they may have uncontrolled AFib, but you know your patients that if there's, we set the parameters of that escalation throughout. So you can say, Miss Smith, if she falls out of this evidence-based parameters, we want to be notified and the escalation happens. And so we built out and customized those escalations and triage in collaboration with our cardiology partners.
So it sounds like the model here is trying to optimize for outcomes for clinical care, as well as thinking about what are some of the financial implications of better chronic disease management for these cardiovascular conditions. Is that right?
Exactly. We're providing, really driving towards outcomes in all fronts, cost of care savings. In our initial launches that we've had, we've really seen this unprecedented success where we're really enrolling, engaging about 89% of our patients to the platform. So in the VBC world, I know that we'll go into it a little later, but in the VBC world, we're 3-4x better than anybody. And it's because we really align incentives directly with the cardiologist. But then because the engagement that we have with our patient through fantastic tools, we're seeing a 98% digital engagement rate. So these patients are really engaging on a day-to-day basis. And then in the initial cohort, we actually had 22% of our patients we diverted from at least one ED visit. So we're starting to see, if you extrapolate that in a larger population, some really substantial savings to the systems.
Wow, that's remarkable to see that kind of results, even given the short time that your company has been working with patients. I'd be curious just to get your perspective on why cardiology is so late to value-based care. Why does it feel like until recently, there wasn't a lot of discussion of value-based care models in cardiology, and it was more focused on kind of primary care and population health that was not as targeted to the specialty care that cardiologists are delivering?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. So I'll go back to, and you alluded to it, Jamie, version 1.0 of value-based care, I like to say, is we're going to delegate things to the PCPs. And for so many years, the focus on value-based care and taking risk was around the PCP. But I think as we've gotten sicker as a population and the spend thus started being held in specific conditions. So you've seen it in nephrology, oncology, and starting to move. And I think the natural progression was ultimately cardiology. And you think about why, right? And so you think about 50% of the population having some sort of cardiovascular disease of some kind. And then you also see this kind of from a macro perspective, a compression of fee-for-service rates. So if we would have started this company 5 years ago, we would have 100% failed. But you think about the tailwinds that are happening from a macro, you're seeing this compression of fee-for-service rates. So all of these cardiologists that were a little bit fat and happy are now having to do infinitely more to make the same income and the same impact. And I think they were overwhelmed. And so you started to see this kind of this moral of quandary of saying, hey, there's got to be a different way. And so you did see a lot of these cardiologists go to their local payers and throw up their hands and say, hey, there has to be a better way to do this. And what ultimately happened is the payer said, great, we'd love to do something. How are you, said individual practice, going to succeed in a value-based care framework? And ultimately, they don't know what value-based care is. And they said, we don't know. And that's where really organizations like Karu step into that gray space to give the provider and the practice the necessary wraparound services, the technology and the resources for them to be successful in something that they're already philosophically aligned in moving towards.
Interesting. So it sounds like One of the challenges of value-based care historically has been that we've expected the primary care doctor to manage everything. And we've put the primary care doctor on the hook for all of the costs and all of the specialty care. But from what you're saying, a lot of the costs are not necessarily being addressed in primary care. The costs are being addressed by the nephrologists who are dealing with patients who have chronic kidney disease and are on dialysis. And then for these cardiovascular patients who may have ischemic heart disease, they may have arrhythmia, they may have congestive heart failure. Obviously, those hospitalizations, those procedures are quite costly. And the primary care providers may have some influence based on getting patients on optimal medical therapy, but it's limited because they don't have the expertise as those cardiologists.
Yeah, I think you hit it dead on. And I think that's what we found in the population that we kind of service is in that a little bit sicker of the sick, call it 40,000, 45,000 PMPY. And of that 40,000, 45,000 PY, 35,000 to 40,000 of that is cardiac related, right? Which the PCPs, they play a key role in that for sure. But the reality is that they're also overwhelmed in seeing all these other patients. And so for us, we're seeing the move to value-based care 2.0 is ultimately getting sliced up a little bit more by disease state of what the key driver of those spending condition is. And then managing it through that continuity of care, tying it back to the at-risk PCPs, the nephrologists, and all the stakeholders to better manage that patient from the onset.
Great. Let's dig into that a little bit because I, before joining Memora, was actually at a health plan myself. And we were engaged in total cost of care contracts with providers in which, now, to be honest, we were expecting the PCPs and the population health entity to manage the full cost of care. And then we asked them to figure out how do you engage with your cardiologists, your nephrologists, your surgeons. But as a payer, we didn't have a direct relationship with those specialists. So it sounds like kind of the 2.0 version of value-based care is carving it up a little bit, where we're saying for patients who have a cardiovascular condition, the risk-bearing entity, you know, involves the cardiologists themselves, right? So the cardiologists are now taking on some risk, and it's not just the primary care doctors who have to manage the delegation of the risk to the different specialties. Is that correct?
No, absolutely. Listen, I think it's unfair to put that burden on the PCP, right? And so for us, I think historically, and Jamie, you alluded to this as well, but historically, a lot of these VBC, population health, whatever you want to call them, organizations would get direct delegation from those payers and ultimately be operating, really managing those patients and those conditions in a silo. And what we've done is flip that model and say, no matter where we get contractually those patients from, we're tying that back and aligning incentives directly with those local cardiologists, because that's where the trust is highest with those patients and where we think that we can affect and we have that cost of care and kind of experience. And then we're tying that back to those payers and that at-risk PCP, really supercharging those networks in which we're operating.
So how does that work for patients who have multiple conditions? Let's say you have a patient who has a cardiovascular condition, but they also have a rheumatologic condition, and they also have an endocrinology condition, let's say diabetes, right? And so obviously not all of their cost could be attributed to the cardiovascular disease, but it will be one driver.
Yep. Yeah. So of these patients, most of them are polychronic, right? Where the primary driver is cardiac. But what we do is really align that with the patient's nephrologist, their rheumatologist, all of those things, because they are polychronic. And so we will plug in via APIs and or create a more narrow network in terms of where we're sending those patients and then keeping everyone up to speed on where that particular patient is on their journeys. Because as you had said, it may not be at that time 100% from cardiovascular, it may be from nephrology. And so we're going to tie it back to, I'm making this up, the Strives of the world or Monograms or whatever that is. That way, we're really taking the best care of those patients with the best management along the way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious to better understand how you engage the cardiologists. Obviously, cardiologists are very busy. They are managing these large panels of patients. In many cases, they're doing procedures. They're reading echocardiograms. They're doing stress tests. So how do you get the attention of the cardiologists, and how do you get them to really pay attention to some of these more kind of population health efforts that are obviously required to succeed in value-based care?
So I think one is in the approach and how we partner with them from those initial conversations. We're acknowledging that they are the clinical quarterback or expertise, and we're amplifying their care plan, right? Effectuating the care plans that they lay out. But one of the things that's really important for us from an alignment perspective is to get their buy-in, that they're the ones driving that care and we're just amplifying it. And we make it overly simplistic from a clinical workflow whereby they don't need to do anything above and beyond their day-to-day because they're busy. They've got patients, they got procedures, they've got all of those things. And so for us, when what we do is through our technology, we risk stratify those patients. That technology sits and is embedded within our partner's EMR. And then those patients that meet the criteria of a Karoo eligible patient, which is roughly about 50, is flagged in the upcoming patient roster. So they'll say, okay, Jamie's coming in, he has CHF. Okay, this is a Karoo eligible patient that I should flag. And so when you as a physician will go through and make sure that they're on the right medication, go through the care plan, what you're also going to do is it almost becomes prescriptive that they say, we want you to lose weight. We want you to do X, Y, and Z. And here's a Karoo rep waiting for you in the lobby. And so we actually embed a Karoo, really patient enrollment specialist at that point of care, because when you speak to a patient, the trust is never higher than when they're within those four walls of your office. And the second that they leave, that trust and just need to see a specialist or someone else exponentially drops. And so we have that handoff where it's prescriptive. They walk out, our really onboarding specialist onboards them, does the initial medication management assessments, and gets them on that cadence and care plan that ultimately is going to drive the success of that patient within the Karoo platform.
Got it. Let's continue there. So after that patient is onboarded during the in-person session, what does the rest of the journey look like?
How is the journey looks based upon, so we have different phases of our program. So some are, the prime phase is made more intense and based upon where they are on that care plan and journey, they go up and down based upon kind of what is the frequency in which we need to interact. And now that interaction happens 100% virtual. So through that SMS text and our partners, as well as virtually. So everything outside of that initial visit is done virtual. And we've equipped it in a way that we've built in, I think I said earlier, of those escalations in the triage that we've previously agreed upon with that cardiologist partner. So the second that they go out, we have those alerts that tie back to the EMR, but ultimately it allows us to offload a lot of those patients and time and resources to us that is eating up, as you had said earlier, a lot of the time of the cardiologist. So it's a win for the patient and the cardiologist as well.
Got it. And just so I understand, Karoo does not provide the direct physician cardiology care, right? That's still being provided by the cardiologist in the clinic. And what we're doing is providing additional support through which types of services? Is it, is we're doing navigation support? What are some of the different?
Yeah, so we, based upon contractually, typically there's the health coach that is there really the quarterback, the support. That profile typically is someone who has an LCSW and or someone has expertise and experience within behavior change and support, because that's really the key driver there. We have nutritionists as well. A lot of the progression of cardiovascular disease is nutrition related. And so we add those services. We do have, for certain contracts we work on with the payers, we do have pharmacists who are going to be able to give that medication as a key driver of a lot of those inpatient admissions is medication management. And we've seen that been successful. So we provide that. But what we try to do is really amplify the clinical expertise of our partner and cardiologist to manage that risk across that population. And so that we don't step in or over that, oh, we're the clinical entity, and now we've become and viewed as competitive to our cardiology partners, where there's a clear delineation between the two. And that's the way that we've had the buy-in and in success this early.
So I know it's still early in the Karoo Health story, but as you look ahead to the rest of 2024, what are you most excited about?
I think I'm most excited about continuing to see the changes that we've made in the lives of the patients in which we service. There's not a day that goes by that we don't get a note saying, no one's really cared for me in my disease state, and Karoo has given us that. And then I think it's continuing to do well by proving the model that this type of wraparound services and all the technology in which we deploy is truly making a difference with the patients, with our cardiology partners and networks, and then ultimately the payers. I think we have something that's really unique where we're really aligning incentives where historically there has been misaligned incentives. And so putting that all together, managing that risk, and truly making a difference is really exciting. And I think continuing to expand nationally with some of our national rollouts with payers, providers, that is going on this quarter and next is really exciting for us.
Love it. Well, I wish we had more time with you, Ian, but this does take us to the close of our time together. Really just want to thank you for your time today and appreciate the insights you shared with me and our listeners.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Memora Health Care Delivery Podcast. For more ideas on simplifying complex care for care teams and patients, visit memorahealth.com.